It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and I am here to let off some steam because the Yankees still suck. It doesn't end. It's all misery in Yankees land right now, and since last episode, we have lost 4 of 5. My God, I am depressed. Tom, how are you feeling right now?
It's not ideal. It's not what you want. In the words of much better manager Joe Girardi.
Ow.
Things have poo-pooed early in this season. Not too impressed with this team. The only saving grace right now is the fact that a lot of the division is struggling. Like, the Red Sox have lost, three out of their last six. They've been mediocre the past week. So, they haven't, lost any ground, but they haven't taken advantage of this homestand and gained any ground. They just got their asses kicked. I know it's too early to scoreboard watch, but, when you're already... you're 5 games back, I just don't want to get to, 10 games back. And then you're at, an insurmountable kind of level, and it's like, oh... I just
can't bother. When they look good, they look good. It's as simple as that. Once they're there, they would come back and they will catch up, because the Red Sox are gonna regress eventually, and the other teams in the AL East, I never fully believed in anyway, not at least entirely. So I'm not worried about any team running away with it aside from the Yankees if we get hot. If we get hot, it's an easy division win, I'm going to be honest. But if you're never going to actually figure it out, though, then this team obviously isn't going to figure it out. I'm not sure if what's real and what isn't right now, because this might be bold, but I have possibly more faith in the rotation than the lineup for the rest of this year. And this is partially recency bias, I know, I get it, but I really think there are some legit long-term concerns in that lineup. And when looking at the rotation, I still think it's going to fix itself in the end, because Cole is Garrett Cole, and we all know that. Montgomery he's been pretty good for the most part. I've liked what I've seen from him, and it's still early on. Tyone made big progress, which we're going to go into later. And even Corey Kluber, man. I mean, he wasn't that good in his last start, of course, but did he take a step forward, in my opinion? Yeah, he did. And I know that there's a lot of rust on him and Tyone, and over time, I think you're going to see those guys get a lot better. And I'm sure fans don't like me being optimistic about that, but I'm not going to lie and say I think they're going to suck, because I really don't think they are. But for the time being, no, this is not ideal, because we need innings, and those guys are not really going to be eating innings for us. That's just the reality of it for the next month or two.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be this bad. You know,
it can,
but I don't think it will be. I can't believe I'm so shocked at the offense being this bad. I don't think we've ever seen a team slump last this long.
We've had a few day slumps that are this bad. We never even had a week slump that was as bad as this one, at least. Even in those week slumps, will still have like, plenty of 3 or 4 run days mixed in there on occasion. Like, those still happen. We haven't even been getting those. Like, it's just nothing. Like, I've never seen the Yankees offense like this. And with a team with just so much talent, it really, it's impressive that they're able to do this bad, honestly. Like, there's too much talent to even understand remotely how it's possible, honestly. Like, I don't get it.
It is like the worst offensive slump I've seen. And it's just like, what the hell, man? I mean, we'll get into the Ray series and shit, but it's bad right now. Like, I can't believe it. We're not even making solid contact besides we've only had like 2 hard hit balls in the Brave series.
Dude, we're hitting everything on the ground. Yeah, literally everything.
They're either hitting ground balls or they're popping up.
And every time I think that we have a shot at a home run, because when we hit a line drive, I swear to God, the ball always fucking dies. Like,
mm-hmm.
like every time there's a swing that where last year I feel like it goes out, it just doesn't carry. It's like, aside from the dead ball, it just feels like a Yankees curse right now, man. Like, even when I think we have that potential stroke of luck, it just doesn't come through, man. It's wild. I've never seen anything like it. And just looking down the lineup, I'm going to be honest. I think there's quite a few guys here where I think about it, and I'm saying to myself, I'm not sure if these guys are going to rebound. Like, I'm really not totally convinced. Like, am I going to sit here and tell you right now I'm convinced Aaron Hicks is definitely going to rebound? No. Can he? Oh, totally. But even if he does rebound, what is an Aaron Hicks rebound? Is it like a 750 OPS guy batting third still because he's a lefty? Or switch hitter, rather? Might be, and that's pretty shitty still. Gleyber Torres, what we all know what he can do, but let's keep in mind, the guy sucked in 2020. The guy has sucked so far this year, and in 2019, I don't like being this guy. I hate being this guy, but it's at least something to note. Take out his stats against the Orioles, and what do his stats look like? They're not as pretty, I can promise you that, like, at all. Even OPS-wise, taking out the cumulative stats, like, it's not good. So I'm not even totally sure how he's going to rebound this year. And you keep going across the lineup. Gary Sanchez, he's back to what he was before. He's just a freaking potato at the plate right now. The guy can't do anything. And I'm not shocked. I was happy when he had those 2 games, the homers to start. But I said, as soon as that happened, let's wait and see. He does this a lot. And I don't know, man. It's just all... I don't have faith in a lot of these guys right now, for now and the future. I'm going to be honest. I don't.
Yeah, Gary's first month has been basically what happened in spring training. Is like, hit 2 quick home runs, right? You think, he's back. And then he's still getting blown away by fastballs.
Like, I'm telling you, man, he in a couple months, I'm kind of done with him if he keeps this up. Like, I'm being perfectly honest.
He's getting obliterated by fastballs.
Like, if he's still batting 200 in, like, June, would you pull the plug? Be honest.
In June?
Or July?
In June, yeah. I think he's shown enough for me to give him a part the beginning of May. I think he's shown enough.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
But if this continues, like... But if the spiral continues and it's like May 15th, yeah. So
I don't know, man. I just don't. The Yankees have a lot of.
Especially if we continue to struggle too, you have to figure that like we're struggling. We may need that defensive catcher in Higgy, you know, and Higgy's got pop too, so it's not. And it's just you can't. Gary's here for his bat. So when the bat isn't working, it's like, what's the point?
Not good. Not good.
I forgot to say, Hicks, you know, from the left side, it just hasn't looked the same since his elbow injury, to be honest. Like, it's just...
He's been drawing more walks the last couple games, I'll note that.
Yeah, don't swing, Aaron.
I'm going to be honest, that's probably his best bet to get on base. Just don't swing.
He took some walks. He didn't even pimp them.
Yeah, that's how you know he's off.
It feels like we need, like,
he's not feeling himself right now.
No. It's bad. It's bad in Yankee land right now. Everyone's sucking ass right now.
Like, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I think the guys that I'm confident will be fine are Judge, Gio.
Yep.
Trying to think. Voight, obviously, when he's back, I have faith in him for sure when he's healthy. DJ, I think, at least. The only reason why I'm slightly worried with DJ, and I don't even want to say I'm worried because look at what he's done the last 2 years. I mean, the guy's entitled to a month's slump. They happen in baseball. We all know this. But, like, right now, he's right in line with, like, his Colorado type of season right now where he's, like, batting 290, 280s with that 700 OPS. Like, he's in that range right now where it's, like, it's a little concerning. But the thing is, the ground ball rate is right where it's been with the Yankees. It's not really going up much at all, maybe like 2% now after last night. It's nothing to be concerned about in that sense. And even the launch angle, it's gone up for DJ. So it's really just straight up hit the ball harder. He's just not seeing the ball well. So something like that is something you don't worry too much about with a guy like him. So I think in time his numbers will round out. But the rest though, I couldn't tell you what to expect, man, and that's scary because it changes not just this season the outlook, but it changes the future of the Yankees entirely if certain guys aren't what we hope they are. I mean, if Torres and Hicks and Sanchez fall apart hypothetically, and I'm not trying to, again, people will get on me for Torres, I know, but the guy has been a below average defender at shortstop. He's had one really big season. His rookie season was good. His second year was really big. But even, again, the big season, inflated by, I think, a juice ball a bit and also facing the Orioles a lot of the season. So you mix that, you consider that and along with 2020 and so far in 2021 and just the mental side of him. It's if he has a bad year this year, I don't care what anyone fucking says. Come at me. I'm going to consider trading him when there's a crazy shortstop market that's once in a generation. Once in a generation, you get this kind of shortstop market. So if I'm the Yankees, I really take a hard look at that if Gleyber Torres does not get the job done this year.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber has not been good for a while now. To be honest,
there's no power. Like, that's the most concerning thing for me.
There's been a power outage with Gleyber. He's only had 4 home runs since the beginning of the 2020 season. So, and yeah, you can say, oh, well, you know, 2020 didn't come into the best shape, and then yada, yada, yada. He did have a really nice September. I'll give him that in the 2020 season. I think that's where he hit his 3 home runs. I don't know. Yeah, it was okay. And then, like, October, he had a nice home run off of Snell. No, it wasn't off of Snell. I think it was off of Yarbrough. So, you know, it's been, but, like, for the most part, it hasn't been good. And, you know, it's really carried over into this first month. He had a really nice spring training, too, which is really weird. It's just like, it's in there. It's clearly in there. We've seen it. We literally saw it a month ago, especially at the end of spring training. He really looked good.
And it only means spring training doesn't mean shit. We know that.
Yeah, but he's still hitting the ball with authority.
So was Gary Sanchez. Look where that got him.
It's so bizarre to see him, like, see the difference in 1 month where it's like his swing is just completely fucked. You see so much weak contact, so many kind of, you know, feeble swings, you know, it's just like,
I think I'm partially with John Boy on this. I feel like teams are figuring out how to pitch to the Yankees. I really do. He's been explaining this on his podcast a couple times, and the more I think about it, the more I think he's right. I'm going to be honest. They're getting less fastballs for sure. I can clearly see that. And when they do get the fastball, they can't hit it, which makes it even worse. So I think between both of the, between the timing and confidence being so messed up right now and teams finding a different way to pitch the Yankees, it's just a total mess right now. And I'm not sure what it's going to take to come out of this, because even if their timing ends up getting better, is that going to be enough to overcome what could be a big change in the pitching philosophy against them? I don't know. I hope so, but again, I am very skeptical of this offense right now. There's all, they have all the talent in the world. Talent is not the issue whatsoever on this offense. It's actually getting the job done, and it's as simple as that. Because and just hitting with runners in scoring position. I mean, their situational hitting is god awful. Even the days where we managed to scratch together quite a few hits, we don't score. We just don't score because no one can hit when there's a guy in scoring position, or they can't even get the sac fly. They'll ground down to a double play. It's crazy. I mean, this team is just, they're home run or bust. And you know what? Home run or bust can work. It can work, but we're not even hitting home runs. So right now, they can't hit homers. This team has no speed, so they can't even have any fun on the bases to try scoring some runs. They're not a very athletic team when it comes to hitting and running the bases. So really, it's a mess if they're not hitting home runs, and that's the reality of the New York Yankees. So I'm not sure what to think of this team. I'm really not.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they're very one-dimensional. They're not a good defensive team. They're not a fast team. They're not an electric, athletic kind of team that can beat you with defense. They don't have the greatest rotation. They're very one-dimensional. Let's be honest here.
Dude, if Gio even misses a week with his back, with his back soreness or whatever it ends up being, it's gonna be a mess on defense. I hope we all realize
Gio's
that.
Like the one guy who's like
he can't get hurt,
and he also can hit too.
That so. Too. I mean, because if he's hurt, you're gonna have to put DJ at third, which is his weakest position, and he's not bad at third. But no. He's not Gio. You're definitely going to be losing something there, guaranteed. And Odor goes to second base. And I'm going to be honest, I now hate the Odor deal. I hate it. And I thought about it. I get certain parts of it, and I get why they made it. The reason why I don't like it anymore is two reasons, actually. Would you like to hear them? I have two big reasons, though. One, it's a product of the luxury tax, and we all know it, and that pisses me off a lot.
Yeah, well, they got him for free, so.
That's my point. Like, if it wasn't for the whole luxury tax situation, Yankees don't make that trade. And that's what bothers me about it the most, I think. The fact that it matters that much to Hal to not go over. He's willing to give away some decent prospects. I'm not losing sleep over them, but it's still 100%. Prospects nonetheless. And the second part of it, too, I've been thinking about this a lot. I think I'd rather have Tyler Wade. And the reason why is because this team is so – originally I was like, this bat needs a spark, but this team needs a spark. But the thing is, I think a spark on defense right now and a spark on the base paths actually is probably more valuable than what Odor is going to bring to the table at the moment. Especially with the state of this team, I'd rather have Wade.
What does Odor bring to the table, Luke?
He brings homers if he's actually right, at the very least. And the thing is, though, I thought about it, too. If he's starting every day, I think he's the kind of guy that will get into a homer groove. But the reality is, you can't start him every day when the team has so many issues as it is on defense. And I don't think he's a bad defender. No, I really don't think he's a bad defender, despite some rough edges that we saw so far. But, it just comes down to the infield alignment right now and a lot of different factors, which is why I wish we didn't get him now. But I stand by it. I get why they did it. I just don't necessarily agree with it because they're desperate for a spark, and that's why they made that move. But it wasn't worth it. I definitely don't think it was worth it anymore. I retract my original statement. But, hey, Rugi, thank you for the one hit that got us a dub. Not like those come very often, so thanks for that.
Yes, and thank you for whenever you hit a routine fly ball for bat flipping. It makes a lot of sense for you to do that, Rugi.
You realize it's angry bat flipping, though, right?
I hope it is.
I
hope it is.
Common sense, Tom. Common sense.
Yes, please. For the love of God. Now, obviously, I don't know if you mentioned earlier, Eddie isn't here, so I'm just going to...
Yes, I forgot to mention that.
I'm just going to say his thoughts right now.
Gary sucks!
Everyone sucks right now. I'm pissed off at Boone. I'm pissed off at Cashman. Everything sucks. Also, we forgot to mention, before we get into these games, Cashman, well, in the middle of these games, right after we were swept by Tampa, and right before we split with the Braves, Brian Cashman decided to show his face.
I don't really care, though.
In front of a green screen Yankee Stadium.
He didn't say anything. He said words. He said words, but they didn't have any meaning.
And then the same shit continued for two straight days.
I will say, though, the one interesting thing that we have found out in recent days is that Boone actually went off on the team, apparently.
Yeah.
That does... I do really wish I could know what he said. Like, I want to know, like, is Boone going off? Do they mean, like, him going off by his standards? Or him actually, like, going batshit a little?
Should be both.
Like, is it like Hulk going nuts? Or is it like Professor Hulk when he pretends to go nuts and he can't really do it?
You know, I'm so tired of, you know, these lackluster performances. And it's just like that game, I think it was Friday, if I remember correctly, in which he went nuts. That was so bad. So putrid. And he did all the yelling. And good for him. He deserved to yell at them. You know. But then, freaking, what? I mean, they continued the same shit. And Sunday, when Gerrit Cole was pitching, you have Aaron Hicks bobbling two balls, getting a bad jump on a ball. Maybe still could have caught it. I don't know. But he bobbled the ball and he cost the force out, and it subsequently cost the run. And then you got Clint catching a fly ball and just chucking it to first base. And it's like, guys, what are we doing here?
So funny. So like, funny.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. Do you just want to do a recap of these games quick?
Let's do it.
Oh, I'll get that over with now. I just want to do it. All right. Yankees versus Rays at the stadium.
Oh, my God. This is a big series, Luke. This is a big series. I'm so excited. Yeah,
I'm so excited.
If we win 3 out of 4, we're really on track.
Actually, it was a 3-game series.
Oh, it felt like 4, though. If we went 2 out of 3, we're really on track, and we would have lost that 4th game, trust me.
Well, the Yankees gave it their best effort, and you know what their best effort is?
No, they didn't. Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, the sad part is, I think right now, this might be their best effort. That's the scary part.
I have a quick rant before you get into this.
I think I know what you're going to say, but
Nick Nelson. I understand. I like Nick Nelson.
Whoa. He actually had a good game last night.
I like Nick Nelson. I do. I like him as a reliever. I do. He's got nasty stuff. He's got a good fastball, good changeup. Command needs work, obviously. But Mike King earned that start.
Oh, well, that's just Boone being an asshole. That has nothing to do with Nelson.
Well, it's Boone and probably that was probably an animal.
I'm going to go on a mini rant about this after we do the series, all right? Yeah.
Like,
and then we'll discuss it more.
Mike King earned that start. Everyone
knows. No, you're
that.
Right. Okay. Like,
that's Mike King's start, so go for it.
First game of the series, Yankees versus Rays at the stadium, and we're all thinking, are the bats finally going to come alive against our division rivals? Well, not much of a rivalry right now. Yankees continue their hitting woos against Tampa Bay, and who do they have on the mound? Do you know, Tom?
No, I do not.
It's Michael Wacha! Or should I say Sandy Koufax? Oh my God, this man... 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 9 strikeouts and just 2 walks against the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers. But I guess there's no bombs in this lineup right now. Yikes. Following Tampa Bay with Waka is Richards and Strickland, and they combined for 2 earned runs over 3 innings, and those 2 earned runs came from a Giancarlo Stanton homer in the 7th inning.
The Giancarlo garbage time homer.
Yep, and I didn't even get to the Rays offense yet. The Rays, my God, they really put on a show for the Yanks. They managed to score 8 runs! 8! 2 came off of Nick Nelson, 2 earned. None off of Mike King, because Mike King is actually very good, but the Yankees don't seem to really acknowledge that often enough. Luis Sessa gave up 1 earned run, but 4 runs total. But you know what? The Yankees off defense is just being the Yankees defense, so I'm not going to get mad at him. And Lucas Lickey, who is being used as the long man this year for some unknown reason that drives me fucking nuts, ends up going 4 innings, 2 earned runs. Wow, that
he
was...
actually saved the bullpen doing that.
I love, dude. No, Lucas Lickey, I like him a lot. I have no issue with him. I just hate how the Yankees use him, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can be a really good one inning reliever, and that pisses me off because he's never going to get to be that if they keep using him this way. He'll never get to improve, and it sucks. It really does.
Yeah, he's a perfectly nice reliever. No doubt about that. He's doing a nice job for himself.
He's getting a ton of swings and misses.
He's getting a ton of bad luck, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, bad defense, you know, being left in too long. It's just, it's like every time he has a good outing, they always try to push him one more. It's like, oh, God. But whatever. He's a good reliever. Good job, Lucas. You're like one of the few people that aren't on the shit list.
One of the very few, yes.
Even
Gio made an error, man. That's rough. Yeah. That's how you know times are tough.
That, you know, the Yankees' lack of fundamentals these last 2 years is kind of alarming because, like, this is baseball, and, like, you're at the highest level of baseball. Like, I don't expect Gleyber Torres and all these players to make these incredible highlight plays. But what I do ask is that when a ball is hit to you, that you catch the ball, get in front of the ball, you throw the ball. That's it. And yeah, that's all I ask. I don't think that's asking for too much. I think you should know where you're throwing the ball, Clint. I think you should know to. I think also this is going to Sunday's game really quick. If you bobble a ball and you fuck up the first time, how do you bobble a ball and fuck up a second time? How does that happen? How are you not locked in?
We'll discuss it after this. Let me finish up this series.
Go for it.
Second game of the series on Saturday, April 21st. Not a fun game again. The Yankees, again, give up more runs against the Rays. They give up 6. 4 coming from Jordan Montgomery, who actually looked pretty decent. He just ran into some, a little bit of bad luck, I guess. It wasn't all his fault, honestly. He looked decent overall. I liked what I saw from him. But the bullpen, again, does good enough. Loaisiga goes 2 innings, gives up 1 run, and Justin Wilson gives up 1 run. But the Yankees offense, they just can't do anything still. They score 3 runs off of the relievers. 1 came off of Glasnow, the other 2 came off of Springs and McHugh, and you know, it's not what you want to see. Glasnow, though, they were actually making him work. Like, he
they had him on the 5 ropes.
Innings. They did. Like, he only went 5 innings.
They didn't hit, man. They didn't hit.
They had their chances against him. They just couldn't get the job done. They had bases loaded at one point, but they just couldn't do it, man. It sucks. I mean, this offense...
Krypton had its chance. Oh, I'm sorry.
They don't take advantage of their chances, and it's a damn shame. And that's why this team's not going anywhere right now. But
yep.
Not what you want, in the words of Joe Girardi. But we'll go to Sunday quick, and we'll do a recap of – we'll kind of discuss some of the parts of the series. But the final game of the series, just as depressing as the others, maybe slightly less, because we only gave up 4 runs this game, so that was nice. We didn't give up as many, so.
Yeah. Like,
I'm trying to find a positive here, Tom, okay? I'm sorry.
I don't feel like I've gotten too into this offense. But, like, it's like you said earlier, every freaking time. Every time they come up in a big spot, they just don't come through. It's every time, man.
You know, and the biggest problem here is you can't lose on days where Cole is pitching. You can't. And Gerrit Cole is pitching this game, and he goes 6.1 innings, 10 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, 3 runs total because of bad defense. I mean, he did his job, and Chad Green follows it up with 2 scoreless innings, and O'Day goes 0.2, gives up 1 earned run. But again, you can't get mad at O'Day for giving up 1 run. The guy is still doing great on the season. I think that might have even been his first earned run of the season at the time. I mean, he's been doing great. All the Yankees relievers are doing great pretty much. It's what you want from them. But the lineup, man, they just haven't been getting it done. And in this game, we managed to score from another Giancarlo Stanton homer early on in the game. That was for the first
not
run.
Not garbage time, that one.
No, that was early in the game, which was nice. But DJ ends up tying it with the line drive single.
Good job, DJ.
Good job, DJ. And from there on, the didn't go well. Not what we wanted to see. They scored another 2 runs, but you know what? Sometimes you got to score more than 2 runs, Yanks. Just a word of advice. So the Yankees lose because they can't score, and that is the story of the season so far. But I will cover this now because we briefly discussed it earlier, and I need to rant on it. The Yankees need to stop trying to be the Rays, and that is their biggest problem when they face them, man. They try to be the Rays and it doesn't work. You can't out-raise the Rays. They're the Rays. They made this whole strategy. This is all their idea. You're telling me you're going to beat them at their own game? You're not. I can promise you you're not. And the thing is, the opener is not something you use strategically, in my opinion. At least you shouldn't. That's something you use because you literally have no choice, usually. That's how I would do it, at least. I would never use an opener unless I literally have no options. Maybe there's little off days coming up and you want to get a rest day for the starters. Something like that, sure. But that wasn't the case here. They used Nick Nelson because they wanted to outsmart the Rays. And it just didn't work. And they should know that. That's not going to work. It didn't work in the postseason.
Oh, awesome.
It doesn't work.
By the way, they didn't give Nick Nelson any notice. They told him the day before.
I know. No, it's horrible.
And the weather conditions were terrible. So, like, it was
Nick Nelson said himself, he was not in a good position. He didn't feel good going into that game. It just wasn't a good spot to put him in.
That stress wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. All you had to do was just say, hey, Mike, you're getting the start. All you had to do is start Mike King. He probably could throw you 5 innings.
Why not have Michael King just go at least 3-4 and then have Nick Nelson follow with like 2 innings?
And also
you wanna do that?
I understand that Herman's been terrible and I don't like Herman, but like, why did we send him down? Why? Like, we compromised ourselves and we only had 4 starters.
Look, I've been shitting on Herman, and originally I was happy when he got sent down.
And they
that's
let
because
Davey.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd really use you had to use a real starter if you're going to send him down. Don't send him down and use a fucking opener. That's such bullshit. It's not smart. It makes no sense. The Yankees are getting
trying to play roster manipulation games.
They're trying to be smart. And you know what? While they try to be smart, the reality is other teams are looking at them and thinking they're fucking stupid because that is exactly what they are.
Yeah, they look stupid trying to be smart.
It looks stupid when you're trying to be smart. That's not the game you play. The game you play is using your money to get a fucking kick-ass rotation with an actual 5 starters and hoping your lineup bangs because that's what they're supposed to do. But you know what? None of that is happening right now. But one way or another, you paid for these fucking starters. You got like 9 different starters. And I'm not even exaggerating. We went into this season talking about how the Yankees have crazy depth. In the sense of they have so many different names they can go to start. Yet, they still ended up using a fucking opener. It's bizarre. It makes no sense. And they should be ashamed of themselves for being so freaking dumb. So that is how I feel.
Show Mike King some trust, too, man.
He is not giving up 1 earned run on the season yet. Not 1.
Like, come on. Come on. Like, just show him some trust. I mean... King is an awesome pitcher, man. I don't understand it. It's just like, you know,
he's taking a big step forward, man, and know how they're rewarding him by jerking him around.
Like, come, like, I like Nelson. Nelson's a good reliever. He's a reliever, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, like, what you do is you start King, and if you need Nelson to come out of the bullpen, that's what he's comfortable with.
You're telling me that it's a smart idea to start your starter as a starter and then use your reliever as a reliever?
Correct.
Wow, that's quite a concept.
I mean, they seem to think that, like, you can just, they seem to think, like, their own players are robots, I would assume.
That's exactly what it is. They're not considering the mental side of baseball at all. And that's what
people have routines, you know, people have,
especially pitchers, man. Pitchers are such routine-oriented people. Like, you mess with that routine, it can throw off their entire
game. They mess with the routine for no reason.
Entirely. Dumb.
Like, he has a different routine from what I gather. He has a different routine when he's coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, so that's exactly what he said.
So, like, you just screwed Nick Nelson for no reason.
Because he said himself, he hasn't started a game in a long time.
Cool thing about King is, like, he just pitches. Like, he just, like, all right, I'll come out of the bullpen and throw you five innings. All right. But it's just annoying, man. Like, they're not robots. You can't tell a guy who's been mainly coming out of the bullpen that you're getting a start tomorrow. A day before your start. You didn't even get a chance to throw a starter's bullpen, if that's such a thing to prepare as a starter. You didn't have any time. It's like, hey, you're starting. Oh, what? Okay. And it's like, there's no reason for it. And then obviously the offense laid a big egg like always. And it was just, this was a mess of a series, man. Like, defense sucks. Offense sucks. Pitching wasn't good. The pitching was okay, besides the first game, it was manageable. It should there were two winnable games. We should have won the Cole game, and we had a chance to win Saturday's game. And can you imagine how we would be feeling if we won those two games and won two out of three? And we would have been feeling much better. And
depends how we win them, though, because if we still win them the way we won like last,
I mean, a win's a win.
No, it's not. A win is not just a win.
A win is a win. It counts as
a win, but it doesn't matter if the long term.
When you're struggling like we are, you take any win you can get.
No
shit. To survive.
You take the win. No shit. But the win means little to nothing.
It doesn't feel. It doesn't feel great.
It means nothing. I'm gonna be honest.
I mean, it means something. It's another win to tally in the win column. But I mean,
until you face a real team,
it's not a good win per se. It's more like, we won. We barely.
I'll disagree with you.
We barely squeezed by the. I mean, it means something because we're
no.
I'll
tell you exactly what it means. It means you got lucky, and then now the next 3 to 4 games, you're gonna go back to normal routine, and you're gonna do nothing. So I don't care.
I disagree.
Lucky wins are good when you're actually winning games the right way as well. When you're only winning
lucky wins are good whenever you just want to win games, man.
Well, of course you take the fucking win, no shit. But I do
it
not
feels
feel
like you're not
remotely
taking
good.
Win,
no,
I mean,
I'm
you
taking
don't have
the win.
To feel good about the win. You just you
trust
just
me.
Take
I'd
the
rather
win.
Be 6-11 than 0
you take
than
the
0-16.
Supplement any potential future good win, and then you start feeling good about it.
I'm aware, but I'm just saying the actual outlook for the players performing for them, it means absolutely nothing.
You know,
for the players, it means nothing.
Sure.
For the team, it means something.
Because the team still looks like shit, but the
That's
team
my
record
point.
Looks better.
That's my point.
I feel, okay. I understand what you're saying. Yes. Because the team does still look like shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Even after their win on Tuesday, it's still terrible.
Like, I said when we won, this win means nothing because the players did not make any progress.
The
so they're going to go right back
the,
to – yes, the players didn't do anything.
The only player that, like, actually did something is, like, Taillon, Lickie pitched well, and then Green came in, got a big strikeout. And then, Justin Wilson came in, got that ground ball. And then it's like, all right, like, the bullpen has been phenomenal. But, you know – any other aspect of our team, defense, offense, starting pitching hasn't been great. Although Taillon, we'll actually get into this, but like Taillon had a great start too. So, but yeah, let's actually get into this Braves series because I'm kind of spoiling the first game a little bit. So.
All right. Here we go. The Braves series. Woo! Started on April 20th. Yankees on a Tuesday coming out 6-10. And
they were blowing smoke up our asses thinking we would get on a winning streak.
Yeah, you know, everyone was saying season starts today. And you know what? We got the dub. We did get the dub, like Tom said. But guess what? It was not earned at all. It was not even remotely earned. You know why we won?
We won by not swinging.
Gio Urshela hit a nice bomb, and the Yankees got lucky in the eighth inning with some walks and a wild pitch. They got lucky to win this game, and it's as simple as that. We had five hits the entire game. It was not a pretty sight at all, and we got to thank Tyone, man. He was clutch, five innings pitched, four hits, one earned run, five strikeouts. He did his job, and it was his best performance of the season to this point. He's followed up by Lucas Lickey, Chad Green, Wilson, Loaisiga, and Aroldis Chapman, who end up giving no runs, allowing the Yankees to win 3-2-1.
Bang.
So, we move on.
We won by not swinging.
Yes, except for Gio.
Yeah. Pathetic.
Final game. Oof, all right, this one's fun. This is real fun. April 21st, Yankees lose 4-1 on a losing effort from the bats as usual. And my God, I have never seen the offense look this bad. I still remember. I was watching. I didn't even watch this whole game, I'll be honest. I watched the first six innings, and I could not bear to watch. I was so bored. There were a million other things I would have rather done than watch this game. It was horrible, and I said to myself, I have better things to do. I'm not going to dedicate more of my time to this fucking team tonight. It was six innings of nothing. We scored one run later on in the seventh, and not seventh, the ninth.
Clint
with a lucky hit, so, you know, I don't really care. But
he needed that.
Yeah, good for him on the luck, but I have no faith in him at the moment still, so I'm sorry,
Clint. Nice catch, though.
It wasn't. He dives when he doesn't need to dive.
He dives at the ball. He doesn't have an angle when he dives. And it's like, Clint, you're not supposed to dive directly at the ball.
Left field Clint is a scary Clint. Gonna be honest.
Clint's fun, man. As long as he catches the ball, it's hilarious. But like,
he's a roller coaster.
When he fucks up, that's when you get pissed. It's like, dude, come on. But what? At least he caught the ball. So, and they hit. He hit that Austin was Riley in the. That is like a very rare chance of that happening because Riley had to turn around at the perfect moment for that to happen. And as soon as the ball bounced, Riley started to turn around, and then he turns around, and the ball's right there, hitting him
right to the fucking chin.
And it's just like, oh shit! And he couldn't even advance to second base because he was in so much pain. So that was a really good design set play by Clint there.
Oh yeah,
we'll give him that. That was a money throw. I don't know what Mike Ford was doing being in the dugout, but whatever.
Corey Kluber pitches 4.2 innings. A lot of walks towards the end of the game, yeah. But he actually looked pretty decent the first four innings. He actually wasn't giving up almost any hard contact.
It was a stepping stone.
No, it was definitely a stepping stone. I could say with both Kluber and Tyone, they took steps these last two games.
Correct.
We obviously need to see more. We want to see further steps, but this was at least a step in the right direction to make me feel at least a little more optimistic than I had before. It's nice to see. And in the end, he only gave up two earned runs, Kluber. He didn't give length, but he didn't keep us out of the game. Like, he gave us a chance to win, at least. And Nick Nelson and Sessa and Kriske followed it up with only giving up
three guys you want.
Yeah, they only gave up one earned run in the end, really, though. So, I mean, they did their job.
Bullpen's been fantastic.
The bullpen has been great, man. They are keeping us in all these games. And if this were, like, even last year at certain points, like, they're doing enough where we'd be probably above 500, honestly. Like, dead ass. Like, even if we're struggling, like, going back to last year, we still had games where we'd still score, like, three, four runs at least mixed in there. But we're not getting those right now. We're just not. So, it makes a big difference, man. It really does. And right now, the Yankees are just in a very bad spot, and they end up losing this game 4-1, as I said earlier. Not fun, and the Yankees are just a mess.
It's not what you want.
The scariest part is we got to face Cleveland, who has one of the better
Cleveland Town, one of the better everyone.
Rotations in baseball.
Yeah.
They have Shane Bieber. They got McKenzie. They got Savale pitching tonight against
Plesac as well. We're not facing Plesac. We're facing Logan Allen.
Yeah. He's the one guy that we can probably get to. Mm-hmm. But then again, we can't get to anyone right now. So let me rephrase. If we are going to get to anyone, he's probably the guy you look at because he's a lefty and he's not that good. So
you know what I did last night?
Cry?
No. Well, sort of. But no, that's not what I was referring to. I actually went on the Talking Yanks YouTube channel. I was just watching, like, react.
Oh, me too.
Last year when we faced Cleveland. And it's like...
I do that too.
It's so crazy how our bats have gone this quiet when, you know, a few short months ago,
the postseason was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, if Boone properly manages the game with Garcia, we might have at least made it to the championship series.
Mm.
And who knows what happens from there? Like, who knows? You just never know in baseball. It's such a hit or miss sport where, like, we could have made the World Series hypothetically. We definitely could have. I'm not saying it was necessarily super likely, but I'm not going to say it was impossible. No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with it. So, you know, we do have to get into this. 4 years Aaron Boone's been here. 4 years since we fired Girardi. Where's my championship, Luke? Where's our championship? Where's number 28?
It's at the championship store.
Also, I feel like we've seen a lot of players regress in recent years, and that these aren't aging players. These are actually young players.
I feel like
Labor's taken a step back. I feel like, obviously, Gary's taken big steps back. You know.
When it comes to that kind of thing, though, I don't look at managers ever. I don't, personally.
I look at, like, holding your players accountable.
Well, that's really different, though.
I don't feel like...
With them struggling, what are you going to say? Do better? Like, yeah, no. Sure, but what's that going to do?
No, that's not going to do anything. But, like, you see, we'll use Gleyber, for example, because he had an incident last night. You see Gleyber has a soft contact swing, but he hit it in a place in which, you know, a lot of pitchers and catchers get confused as to who's taking that. So if you're running hard, there's a shot. You've got at least a shot to beat it. And, like, I do think that if he was running out of the gate, I do actually think, like, he could have, like, made it close. I think he probably is still out.
He would have been out. But, like,
I think he most likely would have been out, though. Unless there was a bobble or a bad throw. But what you're doing by running hard is you're showing your teammates and you're showing the fans that even though you're sucking right now, that, hey, you're at least going to give everything you've got right now. I'm gonna try to make something happen. I'm going to try to spark this offense. Because that's really all that can spark an offense is, like, hey, you hit, like, the slow roller, right? But you run your ass off and you beat it out. And, hey, maybe the next guy works a walk. Hey, maybe the next guy hits a single through the middle or something. Hey, you got yourself a run. And that run doesn't happen unless you're running hard to first base. Now, you don't have to run hard on every play, though. I mean, if there's, like, a routine ground ball to the second baseman, you don't have to, you're out. I'm not saying that every player should run as fast as they can on every play. You're going to hurt yourself, let's be honest. But when you're struggling and when you have, like, one of those slow rollers that potentially, if there's a bobble or something that you could beat out and get this offense going, that's when you just got to pick your spots. And that was a spot to run hard. And then I understand that he's frustrated with his swing. His swings have been pretty bad. Although I'm pretty sure he got a hit yesterday, right? Didn't he hit a single right center?
He actually had a very nice line drive.
Yeah. I was wondering if I hallucinated that, because, like, I was kind of like, I was halfway passed out, and then I eventually did pass out, because this is not a fun watch. This is not a fun team to watch play baseball. It's just not. I'm going to sound like a boomer, but all the strikeouts, it's just not fun. It's not all the strikeouts, all the ground balls, not enough home runs.
The strikeouts are nuts, Francesa. I just don't get it.
Yeah. it's not fun. It's and you know, the only thing that I can really look forward to is a Clint at bat these days. You know, well, I don't even look forward to those anymore. Although nice little Punch and Judy hit there, Clint. Good job. Now hit more balls hard and stop diving at everything. So everything sucks right now. The Gary regression has been bad, has sucked. I mean, he's not like we're treading old ground,
I want to talk about Boone just because
you brought
him up about, you know, these players regressing, but you know, and people also, they like to bring up the hitting coach, but I'm going to be honest though, like, people overhype the effects of coaches and managers, honestly, especially hitting coaches in particular. Like, they don't do as much as people think, man. They really
I do actually have something to say about that, actually.
Okay, pitching coaches though, like, this is a question
for you, Luke Becker.
Yeah, give me one.
Okay, so you said that you agree with John Boy's theory that the league has figured us out.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Isn't it up to Marcus Thames to help our offense adjust?
But the question is, who's to say that he hasn't already tried and the Yankees
are just
not?
That's fair.
That's my thing. Like, if I knew what was going on behind the scenes, it's different. But the thing is, literally none of us know. It's all just speculation saying, oh, he's not doing enough. You know, he's not doing anything because, you know, this team sucks. It's like, well, are you in the dugout? Are you in the batting cages when they're doing their work? No. So clearly you are just making stuff up because you have no idea what he's doing. He very well may be doing nothing and maybe he deserves criticism. But he also may be busting his ass off trying to fix this, and the Yankees hitters are just simply not adjusting. That happens plenty in baseball. We
adjust.
Just don't know.
Adjust.
One way or another, even if he wasn't helping the hitters, hypothetically speaking, which is still bad, the hitters are still smart enough to adjust by themselves.
He's getting paid to help.
The hitters are smart enough to make adjustments on the fly. Like, they're not idiots that rely on just the hitting coach. In fact, I think most of the adjustments these hitters make are on their own to begin with anyway. So it's one way or another, it's on the hitters more so than Tim's, for sure.
It's 100% more on the hitters.
And like, not by just a little though, like, I'm talking like,
yeah,
it's like 80-20 probably.
No, it's like 95-5.
Like, it's 80-20 at best, I'm saying. Like, that's the most blame I can see myself giving him.
There is no, like, a hitting coach can give you all the pointers you want, but if you're not carrying them,
who cares?
Box, it doesn't matter. So, like, it's just hard to really freaking, you know, really care about the hitting coach. I make jokes on Twitter about firing Tims, but like, I don't actually like.
Well, yeah, like, pitching coaches, I think, make more of an impact. Not necessarily in game as much, but like, through the off season and through spring training, I feel like they have a much larger role in helping pitchers take steps to the next level. Like,
throw this pitch more.
Yeah, like, throw this pitch more. Try this grip. You know, try doing a little bit of this.
Yeah.
And I think you see more immediate results with that, but in the case of hitting, though, it's just not as simple.
You can't substitute being batting practice for live.
Yeah.
Live when you're really out there playing.
Yeah, like, a grip is a grip. Like, once you have the feel of a pitch, it doesn't matter where you are. Like, you have the feel.
It's easier for a pitching coach to make a consistent impact. So it's just, I mean, I don't fucking care about it.
I think we have a great pitching coach where I think Matt Blake is really good, and I think he's had a big effect on these pitchers.
Yeah, our coaching staff isn't the problem. Although quality control coach Tanner Swanson needs to be held accountable.
Even our third base coach, Phil Nevin.
Is he the quality control coach?
Wait, who?
Tanner Swanson? Or is that another guy?
I thought he was a catching coordinator.
He was, but I think he's also the No, it's got to be someone else. I'm sorry, Tanner.
Yeah, I think it's
someone else. Who gives a shit? Whoever's in charge of quality control, going to need your help. Gonna need you to kindly help, please. I need you to improve the quality and control it. Thank you. Continue, Luke.
I mean, again, in the end, the
we
coaches
all die at the end.
Yeah, the coaches could only get so much blame, and I'm not wasting my time talking about how horrible they all are. But I'll be honest, though. I do think if the Yankees hypothetically didn't make the postseason, let's say, I think Boone's fired. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's because Cashman necessarily is done with him. It's just he knows.
He knows
Boone
he got to win.
Boone is a face to blame. No,
this
that's
is
what,
a
no,
production
that's what it is.
Business.
It's not even about that. I don't even think it's that. I think it's just
he's got to throw.
Yeah,
we
got to throw someone under the bus.
Meat to the animals, and we're the animals apparently.
That's exactly what it is. I don't think he really thinks it's a question of Boone's ability. And I think it's just watching so far. I think Boone has made some questionable decisions out of the pen.
He's trying to mix up the lineup a little bit. This is making some attempts. You know?
Yeah, but the lefty thing for batting third,
yeah,
he was driving
me nuts. Gotta stop with that.
He didn't do it last night.
Didn't do it last night. Obviously, yeah. Didn't work because Giancarlo's blowing ass right now, and Gio got hurt. But yeah, I mean, and also we don't have a good lefty right now.
Yeah, until you have a good lefty, don't do that. But once we do, great. I think that's a great idea. If we had Corey Seager in this lineup, fuck yeah, bat him third. That's a great fit for the number three spot.
Exactly.
But Aaron Hicks? If Aaron Hicks has an 800+ OPS when he's actually like full blown good Aaron Hicks, sure, I can work with that. That's at least enough when he's walking too. But yeah. Current Aaron Hicks?
No.
Hell no.
Current Aaron Hicks is like a pitcher right now.
I mean, all the Yankees hitters are like pitchers right now, but we're batting 206 as a team, I think.
Yeah, Judge is the only guy that has above average offensive numbers, and even his numbers are kind of hollow. He hasn't really come through in big spots, except Tuesday. He actually got a hit. I don't know how Hicks didn't score on that, by the way.
I think it's because maybe he thought he was going to catch the ball. And he held up for a sec to see if he was, and then he got a late jump. But just a guess.
Base running, by the way, has not been desirable.
I mean, it hasn't been, at least recently, bad. It's been what it is. It's what the Yankees base running has always been. It's not any different to me for the most part.
I wish we were a more complete team, to be honest.
This is irrelevant quick, but did you get the message on Patreon from our man Dan?
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's nice.
Talk about that later.
moving on. I just wish we were a more complete team. I do think that I don't think that this team right now it has the oomph to really make a big run. Maybe you get Voit back and he's great and that helps a lot. And you're getting Britton back, obviously, to help out an already great bullpen.
Uh-huh.
And you'll eventually get Severino back, and he's going to help the rotation, right? But at the same time, I still have major issues with this team. I mean, I don't like Odor. I want Odor gone. Hicks, Hicks is contract. 7 years, $70 million. It's not unmovable. God forbid this is really what Hicks is. I don't think it is. I think Hicks is a lot better than what he's shown. A lot better.
I think so too, but I gotta see a step. Last year he wasn't horrible. He walked a crazy amount, obviously, last year. Yeah. That was there. And I always thought the power simply wasn't there because of Tommy John. That's that's what my stance was, and I still think that was part of the reason. I do,
because
we've seen it before with guys, but it's more of an approach thing for sure because of the fact he's walking less, which does fill me with some hope that, like, especially last game we saw two walks. I think he walked the game before that too. So I think if he starts walking more and getting that better approach at the plate again, I think it'll at least be another step forward to getting back to where he needs to be. So I will say the last two games weren't good, obviously, but I saw a couple encouraging signs from him at the very least. I'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly going forward, I think you're probably gonna, if Gary doesn't hit, you might need to move on from him after the year. And then
I think they will.
I think you're gonna have to make a decision about one of the infielders leaving. Probably not DJ, but like one of Voit, Gleyber, Gio. I wouldn't trade Gio, to be honest.
My thing is, DJ is not going anywhere because you just signed him, obviously.
No,
that's definitely not. Gio is Gio. He's too good at the at defensively, and he's
I would do my best to sign Seager.
I would say if you really want to go bold, like if let's say they decided, you know what, we're gonna keep Gleyber, we have faith in him, and we'll trade Voit hypothetically. Go all the fuck in on like Rizzo or Freeman or one of those guys who are good defensively at first, but also can hit.
Well, wouldn't you be moving DJ to first?
No, I don't think that's a smart idea at all. Actually,
wait. So you're trading Voit, right?
And replacing him with the first baseman.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that I would not move DJ to first because I don't think he's nearly as valuable at first base. First base is a power position, and you're going to be lucky, super lucky, if you find a position player that's going to rake at second base because that's such a weak offensive
position. Are we moving Gleyber to first base then?
Why?
I don't know. He hit 40 home runs 2 years ago.
What does that have to do with anything?
You said it was a power position.
First base is.
Yeah, you just said that. Are we moving Gleyber to first base? He just hit 40 home runs 2 years ago. So I was just thinking, if you're going to move Voit, wouldn't you just put Gleyber at first and then sign a shortstop?
You're so weird.
You wouldn't move DJ to first. So I was just thinking, maybe you just move Gleyber to first.
You just keep
that
Gleyber. Why are you thinking so weird?
But why would you be keeping Gleyber at shortstop if you're moving Voit? There's no point in you just. I don't understand.
The logic in that is hopefully that the first baseman will help the overall team defense, and also you can ideally get a lefty bat in there. And ideally, it's also because they're keeping him Gleyber at shortstop because they actually believe in his defense a little bit. If they kept him, if you're keeping him, you're keeping him because you believe in him as a shortstop. That's the only reason
Why would you sign a first baseman that's 32 years old and to a big money contract when you have a first baseman under control for like 3 more years?
It depends on what they can get for him, of course. People were calling this fucking trade Voit last year, too. Who cares?
I would only trade Voit in a scenario in which Corey Seager comes.
I think that's dumb still.
I think you're dumb.
I think you're dumb. Why would you want DJ at first base? That's such a waste of
I'm not saying that DJ at first base is, like, great for the value. I'm just saying I see DJ as more of a guy that can move around a little bit.
Move around the diamond a little bit.
Maybe primarily he plays first base, but like primarily he played first base in the 2019 playoffs. So like, who gives a shit?
I don't know. I'm not with that. I like to have a real first baseman.
He plays first, second, and third. Maybe you sign a nice backup first baseman who can hit some dongs. Maybe Austin Wells comes up. Get that lefty bat up there.
I would love to see Austin.
See, imagine on days where like Gio or Gleyber needs a day off, you just fucking play DJ at third, and then you put Austin Wells at first.
I'll say this minor league season is going to be very interesting after a year off because a lot of guys probably took a lot of steps forward that we don't even know took steps forward. Because they didn't play. There's no stats to show that they got better, but I guarantee you, it's with any team. Guys obviously got better over the course of the year. Some guys got worse, too. Yeah, but we are going to see a lot of different – I think we're going to get quite a few surprises in the Yankee system, some good, some bad. So it'll be cool because let's say someone like Floreal rakes, you know, your guy. Let's just say, hypothetically.
My guy?
It's sarcasm, bud.
Professional – future KBO superstar Esteban Floreal.
I can't wait.
He's going to be great in the Korean leagues, man.
He would rake in the Korean leagues.
He's
going
to be so good when he goes to Korea. He's going to hit 30 home runs and steal 30 bases. And he's going to play good defense. He's going to do it. And then he's going to come back with a swing adjustment like Eric Thames did. And he's going to come back to the league and he's going to have a few nice seasons and then he's going to probably just disappear.
Okay, but that's already a couple nice seasons. You didn't even say he could do that.
You said he was not even going to be a major league player.
Fuck
you. I
think
he's going to be a major league player for the Yankees. I think he's going to
No,
be
that is not what
player.
You said.
I think
that's
he's going to
totally
be a major league player for like the Texas Rangers or some shit. He's going to Here's what's going to happen. He's going to come up, right?
Wow, so you're
This is Esteban Florial's career.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, now you're a fraud, but it's okay.
Yeah, you're a fraud. Esteban Florial comes up. Sucks. There's a surprise. Then he gets dealt, and then it doesn't work out in the team he's dealt to. So, you know, he doesn't really have any options. He's been released. He's a free agent. He says, all right, Japan makes an offer. KBO makes an offer. He chooses the KBO. Weak pitching there. All right. Probably hits around 280. It has like a 370 OBP. You know, because he knows how to walk against pitchers that don't have any sort of fastball, I guess you can say. Hits 30 bombs, steals 30 bases, plays good defense. You know, makes a swing adjustment like Eric Thames did. And then you got those professional scouts. Hey, what about that Florial kid? Not too long ago, he was a top prospect for the Yankees. And they're like, sure. He signs a two-year $10 million deal with the Texas Rangers to be their center fielder. And he's okay. Probably hits around 240. Probably has like a 330 OBP. Actually slugs pretty well. Steals bases. Plays good defense. And has a few nice years. But as the league adjusts to his adjustments, he goes back to being the Florial that he used to be. And that's the end of the Esteban Florial story. Thank you.
Well, again, you already contradicted what you said would happen earlier, so you're already a fraud, but it's cool. But
you're a fraud.
It's okay. You're allowed to be a fraud. It happens. People aren't always the best at what they do, but, you know, Florio, he'll be a decent major leaguer. I really believe that, but we'll see. We'll see. The verdict's out, but time will tell on him, and I would be thrilled to see him with the Yanks, obviously. I'm not saying it will happen because the Yankees obviously have a lot of outfielders in their organization, some possibly being locked up for the future in the form of maybe Judge and Clint, depending on how things pan out. And, of course, we have super prospect Jason Dominguez on the rise. So I'm looking forward to watching him in particular most this year. I mean, he's actually going to be in games. We haven't
Has
seen
he been assigned to a level yet?
No, but I think that no one has been yet. I think they're probably going to assign
They'll probably wait till May.
Yeah, probably sometime in May, hopefully.
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited to see him because he just needs to play. Like, he needs to play, man. I kind of would have been aggressive, maybe get him some alternate site games. I don't know, but whatever. He'll be playing this year. He's only 18 years old. He's going to shoot up the system. Aaron Hicks, you're fucked, man.
That Aaron Hicks, I'll say that whenever Jason's ready, that's when Hicks is gone. Like,
yeah,
that's straight up. Like, when he's ready, the Hicks era is over.
Yeah, and like, I don't think Hicks is like beloved by this fan base. I don't think he's ever really been beloved by the fan base, to be honest. I mean, sure, there may be a few, you know, ridiculous bigoted reasons as well, but like,
hey, Sanchez resurgence bandwagon account loves him.
Yes. I mean, I like Hicks. I think Hicks is a good player. I think Jason's gonna be a special talent. I think the Hicks contract is fine. It's only $10 million a year. Maybe it's a few years
rookie
too long.
Jason Dominguez is probably gonna be better than current Aaron. Like, not when I say current, I mean like what he's been the last few years, Aaron Hicks.
Yeah.
Like that's how good tools are on a guy like Jason Dominguez. Like, him is gonna be pretty good still.
Hopefully he gets a little taller. That'd be pretty cool.
You never know. I actually just found out I grew 3/4 of an inch in the last year.
Congratulations, Luke.
I was pretty excited actually. I thought I was done growing, so that was a pretty big moment.
Yes, I was 5'7" in senior year of high school, and now what, 2-3 years later, I'm getting close to 5'10", so I'm still growing.
Oh, I'm excited. I actually can now officially round up to 6 feet.
Dick.
Yeah, I'm 5'11 and a half exactly. It's just enough.
Everyone's taller than me.
It's okay, bud. Not everybody can be tall. It's a tall guy life is not for everyone.
Whatever. It's very depressing, but whatever. Let's quickly preview this Cleveland series. Like, we kind of did it a little earlier with the pitching, but, like, overall, Cleveland is actually, like, close to as bad as we are offensively, but they were actually expected to be. Besides Jose Ramirez, like, they don't really have too great of an offense.
Oh, I bet you Ramirez is going to burn us quite a bit.
Yeah,
few times.
Jose Ramirez is awesome. He's going to be a tremendous Atlanta Brave in July. Am I wrong?
No, that's actually – I didn't think of that, but I'm really happy you said it now. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Like, he's going to – because Austin Riley isn't that great, although he took someone deep yesterday. I forgot who he took deep. But, you're going to have Jose Ramirez at third, Dansby Swanson at short, Ozzy Albies at second, and Freddie Freeman at first.
That's a pretty nice infield.
Yes. I mean, Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate. So, he's going to be an Atlanta Brave, and Chris Bryant's going to be a tremendous New York Met calling that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I went there. So, you're welcome.
I didn't even realize the Mets are in first place. With the way people have been talking about them, you'd think they're fucking god-awful.
The thing is that they're a little bit like us, except, like, Gio's a good third baseman, but J.D. Davis is a terrible third baseman. He's terrible. And that's why I said Chris Bryant. Because Chris Bryant's not a great third baseman, but, like, he's back offensively, and he's a decent third baseman. Like, he can actually play the position. And, like, J.D. Davis can't play the position. So what you do is you rent Chris Bryant for half a year, and you make you either sign Bryant or you go elsewhere. But Chris Bryant right now is playing really well. So why wouldn't you want Chris Bryant?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I get it. I mean, they wanted him in the offseason. So.
He's basically a better J.D. Davis, like a significantly better J.D. Davis.
They're going to get Chris Bryant. I do agree. That's pretty likely. They wanted him to begin with. And as long as – if the team, especially, like, if they're on the border of, like, first place and they're, like, maybe a little bit shy and they need an upgrade, Uncle Steve will get him that upgrade.
I wish our team was like that. Luxury tax be damned, but
I really do think next year they are going to spend. Call me optimistic.
Yeah, next year.
No, I agree. The thinking
we're in
is
a
dumb.
Shrinking window here. So.
I don't support what they're doing at all. I'm just saying I don't think it's a permanent thing like some people have made it out to be. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I called the Lindor to Mets thing, I believe. So like
you did call that one.
Hopefully, I called this one. I think he's going to the Mets, but whatever. I mean, this year, like I said, this is a shrinking window, so, like, can we please, like, I don't know, do something?
Do a thing.
Do anything. I mean, there's so much that we need. I don't know, maybe the Diamondbacks suck and we get Kettle Marte.
This won't happen, but imagine, like, the Yankees decided to just, like, blow the doors down and they fucking get, like, Max Scherzer at the deadline.
I was just about to mention Max Scherzer. If the Nationals are bad, because Max Scherzer is in the last year of his contract.
Honestly, my hope almost is that he's definitively available, just because if the Yankees...
Did you just say definitively?
Yes.
Or definitely?
No, definitively.
Okay. Interesting word choice. Continue.
Thank you. If he's available, and everyone knows that, and it's clear, and the Yankees are, like, let's say, just shy of first place, let's say maybe like four games or something like that, maybe even five, and the rotation has some issues still, even though it's decent, and they let Max Scherzer go because of the tax, and let's say the prospect cost is not much, They literally will have no excuse. Like, at that point, like, it'll be that, except this time I think the fans are going to actually notice. And also, you got to keep in mind with Verlander, we also got Sonny Gray during that season. That helped it out a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not as bad.
We legitimately could have had a rotation of Sonny Gray, Justin Verlander, Luis Severino, and I forgot who else.
Tanaka, dude.
Tanaka. So, like... Like, that was viable. All you had to do was make one waiver claim in Justin Verlander's years.
Fucking nuts, dude.
Like, all you had to do.
And that was actually Sonny Gray. He was actually good that postseason. Like, he wasn't anything special, but, like, he was decent.
you do know the Yankees had priority on the waiver wire over the Astros at the time. They passed on Verlander.
I know.
They said pass. And Verlander on the waiver wire was red hot. Like, Verlander was back even before he went to Houston. And then he became even better once he made a slider adjustment in Houston. So, like, oh, my God. We could have had Verlander.
Severino. We would have won another. We probably would have won one to two more World Series. We would have won. Be honest.
And then, like, can you imagine, you know, can you imagine the year after getting Cole?
Well, the question is, do we still get Cole?
That's a good question.
It's a valid thing to consider.
Yeah, but still, I want my World Series, and you know, well, so yeah. so you have an opportunity potentially this offseason, if the Nationals are bad and they don't look good, their offense is like ours, they're trash, then they don't play good defense either. I mean, they're playing what, Starlin Castro at third base right now, they got Josh Bell at first base, Kyle Schwarber in left field. That's not a good defensive team. Juan Soto is not a good defender either. He's just a tremendous bat.
Of course,
and he just got put on the injured list, so he's out for a little bit. So,
you know, like, with all the cry for if George were still here, he'd be doing X, Y, and Z. I've always never been a fan of it, but I'm gonna be honest. If that happens,
Verlander would have been a Yankee.
If we pass on Scherzer because of the tax, I will have no problem with Yankee fans calling for George. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
It's justified at that point. It really is.
Like, even though George was a lot of the time a detriment to his own team.
But he was passionate, though.
He lived and died by this team. And, like, it just – you know that Al doesn't feel that way. He has put money into the team. I'll give him that.
He puts money into the team, but it's not a – for Steve Cohen on the Mets, like, for example, that's a passion project.
He doesn't make that passion project impulse buy. Like, he doesn't say, you know what? He didn't say, hey, we just got Sonny Gray, right? And Sonny Gray is a pretty awesome pitcher, right? But guess who's on the waiver wire? We could add one more star starting pitcher. We could have a rotation of Gray, Severino, and Verlander in that rotation making our playoff run.
It's a difference in mentalities, really.
And remember, Justin Verlander the year before was second in the Cy Young voting, and he should have won. Remember, Rick Porcello robbed
him. That was bad. I was actually pretty pissed when I thought Porcello won.
Yeah, and then
Porcello was good, but he wasn't that good.
Verlander got it back because he robbed Gerrit Cole in 2019, because Gerrit Cole was actually better.
Is it just me, or was, like, Rick Porcello the most random and also the weakest Cy Young Award winner from the AL in a long time?
It was random. He didn't deserve it. That should have been Verlander.
And, like, he was not bad, obviously. He was a very good pitcher, but, like, he was not a Cy Young pitcher, let's be honest.
No, he had a good year. He had a really good year. He just wasn't a Cy Young. He just wasn't better than Verlander, so, you know. But, like, you're going to have potentially Max Scherzer available this offseason. He's looking okay. His fastball velocity is still up to 96. Max Greenfield, who we interviewed last year, is a big Scherzer fan. He's been updating on his Twitter about
a lot of Scherzer updates.
A lot of Scherzer updates, and, like, he's up to 96. He's throwing well. He's looking good. He didn't have a great start. His first few starts. But,
yeah,
like, his last few. He's looking like Scherzer. And, like, if Scherzer is looking like Scherzer, you go get Scherzer, especially since it's only a rental. So it's like, fucking get that guy. And, like, I don't think, due to the cost and due to him only having half a year left of control by the deadline, I don't think it'll cost much in terms of prospects. So really, it comes down to Hal's wallet. It comes down to Hal's priorities. Are you prioritizing luxury tax, or are you prioritizing winning a World Series? And, you know, there's one option that's very acceptable, and there's one option that I just can't live with. So
you're right. And I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens. Hopefully the Yankees, in a perfect world, I think Cashman made this roster under the mindset of, we have so much depth in this rotation that we definitely won't need to make a move. But the reality is, you still might need to. I hope they don't have to, and they may not have to.
Maybe.
It's a possibility. I'm not going to say we definitely are going to need a starter, although it's definitely still in play. But we'll have to wait and see. But I'm going to call it here. I got many things to do on this fine day, but this has been great as always, Tom.
Absolutely.
We have a lot to hope for with this Yankees team, and hopefully we get some dubs soon because we desperately need them right now.
Sounds good.
Yes. Well, till next time, this has been a depressing episode of the Yankee Center podcast. I'll see you, everybody.
Peace.